Gospel of John, chapter 15, beginning with verse 18. If the world hates you, remember that it hated me first. The world would love you as one of its own if you belonged to it, but you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. Do you remember what I told you? A slave is not greater than his master. Since they persecuted me, naturally they will persecute you. And if they had listened to me, they would listen to you. They will do all of this to you because of me, for they have rejected the one who sent me. They would not be guilty if I had not come and spoken to them, but now they have no excuse for their sin. Anyone who hates me also hates my Father. If I hadn't done such miraculous signs among them that no one else could do, they would not be guilty. But as it is, they have seen everything I did, yet they still hate me and my Father. This fulfills what is written in their scriptures. They hated me without cause. But I will send you the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. He will come to you from the Father and will testify all about me. And you must also testify about me, because you have been with me from the beginning of my ministry. I have told you these things so that you won't abandon your faith. For you will be expelled from the synagogues, and the time is coming when those who kill you will think they're doing a holy service for God. This is because they have never known the Father or me. Yes, I'm telling you these things now, so that when they happen, you will remember my warning. I didn't tell you earlier, because I was going to be with you for a while longer. This is the word of the Lord.
Sometimes when I prepare a sermon, Martin wants to know, where do you want to go? Today I want to tell you right in the beginning where I want to go with you this morning. I want us to leave our wealthy Western comfort zone, climb the fence, and have a look to the other side of the fence. And my prayer is this. One, at the end we may have a better understanding of the worldwide suffering of the body of Christ. And two, that God may open our hearts to discover that our persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ and we belong together as a family. This means family members care for each other. This is normal in our daily life. Today, about 200 million Christians are persecuted. Imagine, 200 million. This is the whole population of Germany, France, and Italy together. All the people in these countries live under persecution. Are we shocked? Surprised? Some of us may shake their heads and may say, no, this cannot be true. But if it is true, we ask, why? Just because Jesus has foretold that there will be persecution. But there must be a reason behind. Are those Christians all criminals or terrorists? Do they all plan revolutions to topple their governments? Surely not. all Christians who know what is written in the Bible, in the New Testament especially, should not be surprised, because there we are told that this will happen. I give you some verses from the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10, verse 22. All men will hate you because of me. And the Apostle Paul writes to young Timothy, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus. And then in Matthew 5, verse 10, Jesus says, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And in the same chapter later he says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And again the Apostle Paul says to the Christians in Corinth, when we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. And to the Christians in Philippi, Paul says, it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him. And the last verse from Jesus in John chapter 15, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. No servant is greater than his master. Jesus simply says, for my name's sake. But we still shake our heads because we don't understand. Why is this Jesus' name so shocking? Why is this name so offensive for the whole world? Even some people who are not Christians say that Jesus is a good God. He stood up for the poor. He healed so many people who suffered because of sickness, which no doctor was able to cure. He freed others who were tormented by evil spirits. He was a good man. And even in the former Soviet Union, in the 70s, the Minister for Religious Affairs once admitted in public, the Christians, one, are the best workers in the country. Two, they keep their family life in order. Three, they have overcome the problem of alcohol. And four, they don't let anybody die without comfort. From this I would conclude that the consequences they would have, that the consequences, consequences would be they would have been honored by the government, decorated with medals, and Christian mission would have been supported for the benefit of the whole country. But instead, the Christian had to suffer persecution, imprisonment, torture, and death. Because the minds of the atheists were blinded, and still are, as they say, there is no God. Some of you may have read the book Tortured for Christ by Pastor Richard Wurmbrand. I have this book here, also in English and German. Pastor Wurmbrand, in Romania, he was imprisoned for 14 years. And his wife was in prison as well. They survived the many tortures. When the communist government had begun selling their political prisoners, some Christians in Norway negotiated with the communist authorities for Reverend Wurmbrand to release him. At that time, the going price for a political prisoner was £800, but for Wurmbrand, they demanded 2,500. Later, a journalist in Germany asked him, why did they take you to prison? And he answered, this is a typical Western question. Every pastor in our country who preached according to the Bible had to expect to be arrested. are still some here around us who help with the children or youth work. Yeah, some are here. Others are gone. Peter is here. Peter and Joseka and the others, you would be in prison. Because it was not allowed in the communist countries and still is not, to teach Christianity for people under 18 years. This is what you're doing. Tatiana Goricheva, once professor for atheistic philosophy in Leningrad, or today St. Petersburg, after she gave her life to Christ, wrote a book with the title, Talking About God is Dangerous. I also have this book here, if you want to have it. Suffering for the Lord Jesus is a part of following him. This we learn from the New Testament. The call to serve Christ is a call to suffer for him. This is not what I say. These are words from the Bible. And many, many testimonies from all centuries of church history give evidence that these words are true. But we look at each other and say, yes, it's true for some Christians elsewhere in the world, but not for us. We are not persecuted or have to suffer for Christ's sake. Why? But first I want you to spend a few minutes on this verse, 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are saved, it is the power of God. The Greek word for foolishness is skandalon, and we understand this in German and in English. The Apostle Paul does not say the cross itself is, but its message. The cross itself, as big as it might be, does not harm anybody, but it carries a message. What is this scandalous message of the cross? The whole world tells us, in all religions, including atheism, humanism, or communism, man is good. Not 100%, but good enough to do something for the mistakes we do, to soften God or the gods, and they will accept it. We work for it, and it will be okay. We are fine. The message of the cross says the opposite. Man is not good. And the truth of this sentence is very obvious for everybody. Somebody who does not agree with this will tell me, I'm not a criminal. I never killed somebody. I don't steal silverware in the hotel. I pay my tax. I don't overspeed in town and so on. Fine, I say. So you are the only good person in the world. Otherwise, you have to tell me, why do we lock our doors and bicycles? Why do we need tickets for bus, airplane, or train? Why do we have police with guns, lawyers, prisons? Why do every nation have an army? All that because man is good? The inclination of man's heart is evil from childhood. We read just in the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 8. And this is exactly the scandalon. The message of the cross is this. This evil heart needs cleansing from outside. Therefore, the Son of God was nailed on the cross for you and me and for the whole world. And this hurts the pride heart of human. And maybe some of the Christians here would admit, it was not easy to give up my pride. And When we want to share the good news of salvation with our friends, colleagues, or neighbors, we have to be aware that the good news from the Bible is not only good news. It has also some bad news for the proud heart of man. If we really want the people in our surrounding to get saved, we cannot avoid to tell them at a certain point, you need to confess your sins to the man of the, at the cross, and you are healed. This is very easy, but it hurts. I remember once I heard a story from a missionary in Latin America in the jungle. After he had learned the vernacular language, the first time he preached the gospel to a group of the local people. And there was one boy listening. The boy, what made you listen so intensively? And the boy said, you know, what you told us, this makes holes in my heart. Yes, the message of the cross makes holes in the heart of man. And many, many do not want to admit that they have heart disease, what we call sin. You may remember that last year, or even some years back, again and again in Germany, there were court cases because there were crosses put in a classroom.
Parents, they would not allow their children to go into a school where there is a cross at the wall. And they went to court. And they ran wild against that cross.
In this year, when Jürgen Klinsmann took over coaching Bayern München, you may have heard that in the clubhouse of the Verein, he put up some small Buddha figures.
Somewhere. It should create power among the players or whatever else. But nobody went to court. The football players were not Buddhists. But nobody went to court. But for the cross, they are running wild. In summary, the message of the cross is a permanent provocation to the world. And each life of a true Christian is the same. Therefore, Jesus says, the world hated me, and it will hate you too. I mentioned earlier that at some places in the world, many of our Christian brothers and sisters are persecuted for Christ's sake, as predicted in the New Testament. But we are not. My question is, do we consider that sometime, those things could also happen to us? Or do we take it for granted to live always peacefully, a peaceful life? For nearly 50 years, I have been living as a confessing Christian, but I never was in trouble for Christ's sake. And sometimes I ask myself, am I still on the Lord's track? Because for his followers, other things are predicted. There's something wrong. Is this? The battery is off. Okay, sorry. Do we take it for granted to live always a peaceful life as Christians? And then I ask myself again, or is my Christian life too much diluted by the world around me? And I want to be in peace with the world by all means? not to disturb anybody. Georg Evins, the former leader of the underground Baptist church in Russia, after he was deported to the West as a persona non grata, once spoke to us in Stuttgart. You pity us in Russia because of the pressure we have to face, but don't worry. We are put to the test every day, and we are trained to stand firm. But I'm worried that you here in the West, in your self-satisfaction, may fall very easily. I think that he is right. We have developed a non-confronting culture not to risk our skin. But if we are without scars, that means we never had contact with the enemy. Our churches are empty and lost the power of the salt. A week ago, Matt reminded us that the branch of the vine which doesn't bear fruit will be pruned so that the vine will be more fruitful. And when we talk about fruit, we have to realize that the most growing churches are not in the West, despite all our efforts for evangelism and church growth. The fastest growing churches are those in the underground and where it is dangerous to be a Christian. It might be difficult for us to understand, but this is true anyway. As one person once said, the blood of the saints is the fertile ground where the Church of Christ bears fruit of eternal life. I say it again. The blood of the saints is the fertile ground where the Church of Christ bears fruit of eternal life. A communist once talked to a pastor. I led many Christians to be executed. And I realized Christians die different. What is the secret? We don't know. These people are dead. But is that the end? Not necessarily. The testimony, like for this communist, is still itching in the heart and might bear fruit later. We don't know whether maybe this communist has given his life to Christ later. But these are the true testimonies. I mentioned in the beginning that as the body of Christ, we belong together, even if we don't know them personally. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul says, you are the body of Christ. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. And I read it. Something from Reverend Wurmbrand. He says, when I was beaten on the bottom of the feet, my tongue cried. Why did my tongue cry? It was not beaten. It cried because the tongue and feet are both part of the same body. And you free Christians are part of the same body of Christ that is now beaten in communist prisons that now gives martyrs for Christ. Can you not feel the pain? Are we willing to do to our brothers and sisters who suffer persecution what we normally do for our physical family members? To pray for them and practically assist them in their physical needs? May the Lord bless you. Amen.